This week we've been in the book of Philippians chapter 3 primarily, and just as a very quick recap, Saul or Paul here in Philippians is stating how his life before he knew Christ, it was heading the wrong direction eternally. And he came to a point where he realized that his life was going the wrong direction, and who he was and what he was not going to gain him eternal life, and rather it was going to separate him from God for all eternity. We saw that he made that change and he placed his faith in Jesus Christ. And last night we were talking about the fact that now Paul had a new purpose with his life, and that was to strengthen his relationship with Jesus Christ. His relationship meant something to him, and so he wanted to have a deeper, more personal relationship with Jesus. He wanted to live in the confidence of his eternity, and therefore he lived in light of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he wanted to live loyally for Jesus. He had been such a loyal, dedicated, committed Pharisee. And now he was a dedicated, loyal Christian who was sold out for Jesus Christ. And tonight I want to close by looking at some verses here in Philippians chapter 3. And I want to talk about committing to pressing on. Because, you know, guys, listen, it's one thing to start well. It's another thing to finish well, right? How many of you run, like actually run track, field, or long distance, or other stuff like that? Okay, all right. So I run as well. Right now, I'm prepping for my first ultra marathon. It's going to be a 50 miler. I've run lots of distances of, you know, half milers and so forth, all the way up through marathon. I've done marathon, and now I'm going to, Lord willing, this fall, I'm going to run my first ultra marathon of 50 miles. You know what? It's one thing to start off, you know, and you're excited and you feel like you've got all this energy and strength and power, you know, and then if you run for a while, you start getting a little bit tired, you start getting a little dehydrated, a little achy and so forth, and it begins to hurt, so forth, and how you finish can be very, very different than how you begin. And that isn't just with running, but with a lot of different things in life. You know, we can start and we can be so excited and enthusiastic and passionate, but then after a while things kind of get dull and they get a little bit boring and they get difficult and sometimes they get painful and they're not as enjoyable, and so it kind of is a hard thing to keep on doing well with it. And Paul was concerned in his life that he wanted to maintain a committed relationship with Jesus Christ, a committed life for Jesus Christ. So he says here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So two thoughts that I want to share with you tonight. Number one, I want you to see that Paul was devoted to making progress in his life as a Christian. And in order to have that kind of devotion, by the way, I mean, devotion to something is important, right? I mean, some of you are devoted to good grades. Some of you love academics. Some of you are devoted to sports and to music and to other things, right? And being devoted is a very good discipline of life. And Paul was saying here that he wanted the discipline of his life to be that which would help him to maintain a devotion. But he needed to keep a couple of things in mind. One, to remember where he was. He says here in verse 12, he says, I'm not already attained, either or already perfect. What is he talking about here? He's saying here that there was a lot of room for improvement and advancement in his Christian life. He was not without sin, and he was not a fully mature Christian. And if you read about the life of Paul, you would sit here and think, man, that's crazy. The Apostle Paul is one of the most godly, mature people that you read about in all of Scripture. And yet Paul said, I am nowhere close to where I need to be. There's always room for improvement in my life as a Christian. I cannot become stationary. I cannot become complacent. I cannot become satisfied with where my life is as a Christian. I've got to remember where I am and not just rest on my laurels, but rather I need to continue to develop as a believer. And so that led him to focusing on pursuing the goal. Devotion should always lead to a proper focus. He goes here, he's in verse 12, he says, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. The idea here was that he was focused on pursuing the goal of being a committed Christian. Focus is vital, right? Some of you tonight, you lost focus on that game out there on the water slide stuff. Because you know what some of you did? Some of you slid down and you started running the wrong way, didn't you? Yeah. You know why? You were paying attention. You lost focus, right? And so, you start heading the wrong way, and some of you made it almost all the way back up, and then you had to come back down. You know, focus is very vital. Focus is important when you play an instrument, right? How many of you play an instrument? Okay? I started off, I played trumpet for years and years. In fact, I started off in college as a church music major with a trumpet proficiency. And you know what? When you are playing an instrument, you've got to be focused. You've got to focus on that music. You've got to focus on your timing. You've got to focus on how you are supposed to play. You know, your breathing, if you're a trumpet player or you play brass, whatever, or even certain other instruments, you know, you've got to make sure that you have the right kind of tension in your face and your lips and so forth to be able to make the notes sound clear and precise and so forth. You've got to be zeroed in. You play sports, you got to be focused in, right? You can't be just, standing around haphazardly, not paying attention to what your teammates are doing or what the advancement of the game is. You got to be zeroed in. You like to hunt? How many like to hunt? Okay, I'm an avid hunter. I love to hunt. In fact, guess what? In just a few weeks in North Carolina, starting in September, bow hunting season opens up. And so I'll be getting out my longbow this year. I'd like compound, but I'm going to this year primarily focus on longbow. And I will be doing rifle hunting, and I'll also be doing, I have a percussion cap muzzleloader, so I'll be doing some kind of primitive weapons hunting. And man, let me tell you something, when I'm out in the woods, or when, you know, whether I'm in the woods or whether I'm, duck hunting and, by a, body of water, whatever kind of hunting I'm doing, let me tell you something, when I get going, I'm focused. Why? Because I want to succeed, right? I don't want an animal to slip by. I want to put meat on the table. And so, focus can be applied to many different areas of life. And unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians that live their life without a proper focus. He was saying, listen, I am following. I am pursuing. I want to have a greater, more meaningful, more real relationship with Christ. I've got to focus on that. I want to become more like Christ. My life is not just to live in any way that I choose now, but to live in a way that shows my genuine relationship with Christ. I want to live for Christ and promote Christ by serving Him, by sacrificing for Him, and even if need be, suffering for Him. This was what he's talking about here. He was focused on pursuing the goal of making his life count for Jesus Christ. That's what is so important. That is what is so necessary for us as believers. Paul was devoted to making progress in his Christian life. But I want you to see that Paul was also actively engaged, or Paul actively engaged himself to press on. You say, well, what are you saying here? Well, devotion is good, but it's only good if it's backed up by action, right? You can say, I'm devoted. Let's, whatever you want to fill in the blank in, okay? Whatever you like to be devoted to. You know, some of you are definitely devoted to eating by the looks, of how much you ate this week, okay? You're devoted to eating, as much as you possibly can at a time. Some of you are devoted to sleep. I mean, you look for any and every opportunity to sleep. Some of you are devoted for other things. So you fill in the blank, all right? I am devoted to, or I am supposedly devoted to, fill in the blank in your mind. Now, here's the thing, though. You can say you're devoted, but to live devoted is different. Because to live devotedly means that you will actively engage your life for which you claim to be devoted to. I hear a lot of Christians all over the United States and all over the world. I've been in several different foreign countries over the years. And I hear people say, oh yes, I love Jesus. I see people sing and hear them and sing songs like, oh, how I love Jesus. And they'll talk to you about loving God. And they'll talk about wanting to serve God. But you know what? Their lives many times don't ever back up their claims of being a devoted Christian. Paul actively engaged. Well, how did he actively engage his life to press on for Jesus? Well, first of all, he didn't dwell on what was behind him. Look back at, or listen, if you will, to verse 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, what is he talking about here? He's talking about his past. You know, some of you raised your hand saying that you run. And so it doesn't matter if you're running long distance. It doesn't matter if you're a sprinter. Okay? You don't want to look back. At least you don't want to look back very often or for very long, do you? Because if you are running and you're constantly looking back, what's going to happen? Well, you're going to slow your pace down considerably. You're going to probably go off course. And you might even run into someone or something or fall, right? Or trip up. It's not going to be conducive. Can you imagine elite runners, you know, like in the Olympics, right? And you got these guys running the 100 meter, the 400, the 800, whatever it is, right? Even a marathon. Can you imagine some marathoner trying to run the entire 26.2 miles with his head back like this? How well do you think that guy's going to do? He's not going to do very well, right? He's going to go nowhere real fast. That's what my grandpa used to like to say. He's in a hurry to go nowhere. You know, guys, listen. Here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, I have a past, and I can't change that. He wasn't excusing it. He wasn't trying to sweep it under the carpet. He wasn't saying, you know what, it's not that big of a deal. And he wasn't even saying that he didn't ever look back to the past. But here's what he didn't do. He didn't dwell on it. He didn't focus on it. Well, what about his past did he not focus on? Well, number one, he didn't focus on his past failures. Let me ask you something, guys. Have you made mistakes in your life? Have you ever messed up? Absolutely. Okay? Do we as Christians, even though we know Christ as our Savior, do we still mess up? Do we still sin? Absolutely we do. Do we excuse it? No, we make it right with God, right? So that we can continue to grow as a Christian and enjoy our fellowship with God and stay on track as far as living a committed life for Him. So we don't gloss over it, but you know what? We cannot continue to dwell on it. We can't allow it to weigh us down and hold us back and allow it to guilt us and discourage us and defeat us to where we don't keep pressing on for Jesus Christ. Paul was saying, listen, I know I've made mistakes. I know I've fallen short. I know that I've sinned. And by God's grace, I've made things right and I'm continuing to press on. And although, no, I don't forget those things, I'm not going to dwell on those things because they are not going to help me to continue to live a committed life for Christ. But I also believe that Paul was here in this context. I think he was also referring to possibly even his past successes. I mean, he had grown in his knowledge of Christ. He says that I may be knowing him. I am in the constant habit of learning more about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He had been successful in that. He had learned how to live for Christ and to suffer for Christ. Okay, if you read anything about the life of the Apostle Paul, this man, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was bitten by a poisonous viper. He was in all kinds of dangerous situations. He was imprisoned, and eventually he was martyred for his faith. This man went through all kinds of difficulties and all kinds of trouble. And he did it on account of being a committed Christian. He was willing to suffer for Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ had suffered for him. He was committed to that. But you know what he said? I can't rest on my past achievements. I can't rest in my past victories as a Christian, my past accomplishments. I have to forget those things. Those things cannot be what define my life. I keep on pressing forward. So, he didn't dwell on what was behind him. Secondly, he strenuously exerted himself. In verse 13, he says, I reach forth, I'm reaching forth into those things which are before. I press towards the mark. So the phrase reaching for and the phrase I press towards the mark are really interesting phrases in the original Greek language from which we get our New Testament. He was saying here, when he was saying, I'm reaching forth, it means that he was completely committed to giving his all to reach the goal. And not only that, he says, and I'm pressing towards, meaning this, he was straining every fiber of his life for Jesus Christ. Okay? It's kind of like when you have guys who are running, right? And they're coming to the finish line, and it's a close race, right? And maybe there's two, maybe there's three or four or five, and they're like literally neck and neck. And as they come closer to that finish line, what do they start to do? They start doing something weird. They start going, and they're trying to get that nose, that foot, whatever it is. And they're doing all these gyrations, and sometimes they end up rolling across because they're going so hard. What are they doing? They are literally giving their all. They are putting forth every bit of effort to win and to cross that finish line. And Paul was saying, I am giving every effort in a concentrated, committed, devoted way to live for Christ. You know what? There are some of you that are very committed to different things in life. You might be committed to sports. You might be committed to making money. You might be committed to friendships. You might be committed to a boyfriend or girlfriend relationship. You might be committed to a whole lot of different things. But can I ask you as a Christian, what are you chiefly committed to? Some of these things are okay to be committed to, all right? They're not necessarily wrong or necessarily sinful, but can I ask you, do they take a higher place of commitment in your life than the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if they do, then it's wrong. When I started off in college, I had already been training in the martial arts for a couple of years, and man, by that time, I was totally immersed. My life revolved around karate. When I was in college, when I started off in college for the first couple of years, I ate, breathed, lived, slept, dreamed, talked, walked, was karate. All right? I mean, everything. I mean, from just all day long my life. I would sit in class, in college class, while my teachers were lecturing, and I would make these little karate stick figures. You know, that kind of stuff. Might have been partly why, at least, I got some pretty bad grades my freshman year. You know what? I was the first one when we trained. We trained two times a week in college for 2 hours each time. I would go to extra practices. I was the first one. I was the last one. I would practice on my own. I mean, it consumed me. It was my life. And God had to use an event. We had a karate demonstration down in Georgia at a church. What we would do is usually some of us, we would share testimonies about what Jesus was doing in our lives or how we had received Christ as our Savior. And then we would do some kind of a break or whatever. And so my time came up and I did what I was supposed to. And then my break was on 5 slabs of concrete with what is called an axe kick. Okay. 5 slabs. It's a moderate amount. It's not a huge amount, but it's not a small amount either. And so I set up, and an axe kick, you take your leg, you bring it around the side, straight up, and you come down like an axe when you're splitting wood, and you strike with the bottom of your heel to break the concrete. So I got set up, man. I was all pumped up. I was ready to go. And I came down as hard as I could. And when I did, I didn't realize that I had misjudged the distance of where the concrete was and where my leg was. And so when I came down with all my energy on my Achilles tendon on the outer edge of the first slab of concrete. And I ended up breaking 2 slabs of concrete with my Achilles tendon. I didn't rupture it. I didn't sever it. But I had an injury that took almost a year to heal from that. And you know what? That was what God used
in my life to show me, Scott, you say you love me. You say that you're committed to me. But what you're evidencing is that you are far more committed to karate and the martial arts. And that really woke me up. And I had to get some things right. Did I still continue to train? Yes. Did I still love what I did? Absolutely. In fact, after that, I was able to continue on and pursue. And I earned in that particular style. I earned all the way up to third degree black belt, which took about 20 years to do, 19 years to do. But let me ask you, what are you strenuously exerting yourself to? Are you strenuously exerting yourself to live a committed life for Jesus Christ? Or does that even enter into the equation of your Christian life? Is it only when it comes Sunday? Is it only when you have a fun week event like Teen Challenge? Is it only when it is convenient for you, or when you feel like it's like you're in the mood to do it? Or are you seriously committed to honoring God and living for Jesus Christ day in and day out with the little things and the big things, whether it's convenient or not, whether it's fun or not, even if it sometimes means sacrifice and means sometimes being on your own and sometimes suffering? Are you willing to live a life that is strenuously exerting yourself to live committedly for Jesus Christ? Why would he do this? Well, here's the last thing. He actively engaged himself because he concentrated on the value of the prize. In verse 14, he said this. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What was the high calling of God? The high calling of God was to live a life that would bring honor and glory to God. To live a life that would point lost souls to Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question? Those of you who know Jesus Christ as your Savior, have you ever sought to point another lost soul to Jesus Christ? Have you ever invited them to come to church with you? Have you ever handed a gospel tract to someone and said, hey, would you please read this? This talks about the most important decision that you could ever make in your life. Have you ever given your personal salvation testimony where you have shared with someone who's not saved how Jesus Christ worked in your life to show you your need of deliverance and how you came to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you ever taken the Bible and gone through a few simple verses and explained to someone the simple plan of salvation to somebody? Have you ever exerted yourself in that way because you recognize the benefit of that and what that can happen for eternity? Hey, have you ever exerted yourself to serve the Lord Jesus Christ by serving others? Look at the back. Everybody just kind of take a quick look in the back. All these people back here. Look, Pastor Jake. All these people, the refs and the sound and all these ladies and other gentlemen that have come this week and they have served. You know what? They're not looking to have their backs padded and hey, you know what they've done? They have come to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They've served the Lord Jesus Christ because they wanted to honor him by what they are doing for you this week. Do you serve the Lord Jesus Christ in your home by helping out with the dishes and seeing it as a way to serve God? You clean your room. Do you do your schoolwork for the glory of God? Here we go again. That's okay. Hey, what do you do to serve Jesus? Do you serve in your local church? What opportunities do you take to serve the Lord? Guys, this is what our life is supposed to be about. But you know what that takes? It takes exertion. You know what? All these people here have had to exert themselves to come out every single night, to come out before this event happened, to stay afterwards and help with cleanup and getting situated for the next day's event. It takes applying yourself and exerting yourself in a strenuous fashion to live and to show that you're a genuinely committed Christian. And you do that because you're concentrated on the value of it. He says, I'm pressing towards the mark for the prize. Now, what is this prize? Well, that's a little bit up in the air. Some people think that it might be referring to the crown of life that is mentioned in the Scripture. Other people think that it is the crown of righteousness, which Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 4:8, where he says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
So, and then the question is, well, is this a real literal crown, or is this symbolic of the beauty and the honor and the value of what God is going to give us? And to be honest, we can't be dogmatic about it, but here is the reality. Here's a couple thoughts in regards to this prize. Number one, it is literal. It is real. Number two, it is eternal. It will have a value and a preciousness that is something that we don't even understand it here on earth. We can't compare it to anything because it is of a heavenly nature. It is eternal. It is far greater than anything that we could ever compare here on earth. But you know what I think the greatest thing about it is, actually? I think that the most important thing about this is when Paul said, whether he's referring to this prize in conjunction with 2 Timothy 4:8 or not, I do think it's interesting that in 2 Timothy 4:8 he says, God the righteous judge shall give me at that day. I think the greatest thing is that when we are in heaven and we stand before God and we give an account to God for how we live for Him, and He blesses us with different eternal blessings and rewards, or prizes, if you will, it's not going to be so much the prize. It's going to be more of the one who gives us that prize, God Himself. When I received my first and second degree black belts, those were done in a public fashion. My third degree was not that way. It was a private time and so forth. But for my first two, it was the test for 2 days, and the second day was a very big public test. And people would come and they had to watch. So family and friends and other people were invited to watch. I had to pass everything in front of all these people. I tested the day before over certain things, and I continued on the second day. And after it was all over, in both cases, I did pass. And so there was a public time of ceremony in which my instructor and I, we sat down in a traditional Japanese position called Senza. And as we sat across from each other, my instructor took a certificate and a black belt, and he told me, he talked to me. He wasn't talking to these people, but he was talking to me directly. And he said, Scott, he said, you did a great job. You fulfilled all of the obligations, responsibilities, and requirements for this black belt. Man, I am proud of you. I know that you worked hard and you sacrificed and you've gotten hurt and bled and gotten bruised up and all this stuff. And I just want to tell you, as your instructor, I'm so proud of how you have conducted yourself and how you have properly earned this. You know what? That meant more to me as a student than the actual certificate and the actual belt itself, because it meant that I had done what I was supposed to do and that I had honored my instructor. You know what? On an infinitely greater level, the reason why I should want to live, the reason why you ought to want to live a committed life for Jesus Christ, is not because there's some weird preacher preaching at you and telling you that you ought to live a committed life. The reason why you ought to want to live a committed life as a Christian isn't because your parents tell you or your pastors tell you, or because you've got these friends that you want to save face around, and so you've got to make sure that you look good in front of them and so you do the right things. No, the real reason why you ought to want to live a committed life for Jesus Christ is because Jesus was committed to you. He was committed to come and live and die and rise again for you. He was committed to establishing a relationship with you. He was committed to giving you the opportunity to use your life for Him as you live the rest of your life here on earth. And you ought to be committed, because there ought to be no higher value, no greater thing than to have God Himself tell you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been true to me. You've been committed to me. No, you've not been perfect. Yes, you made mistakes, but you know what? You persevered. You kept plugging forward. You kept strenuously exerting yourself. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Guys, if you know Christ as your Savior, God doesn't want you to go through your life haphazardly, nonchalantly, lackadaisically, apathetically. He wants you to be earnest. He wants you to be dedicated. He wants you to be committed. He wants you to use your life in a way that reflects your genuine relationship with Him. Would you please bow your heads with me tonight? We're going to have a brief time of invitation.
Again, we're going to do it like every other time we've had it so far this week. We're in just a moment. We'll stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed. Tonight, this has been, again, a message primarily for those of you who know Christ. And so my question to you is, are you going to seek to live a committed life? It's not always fun. It's not always easy. It does take sacrifice. It does take time. It does mean suffering in different ways. Are you really willing to commit to that? Some of you may need to do that tonight. Some of you may say, you know what? I have been, but I've kind of gotten off track of late. And I need to get back on track as far as living my life for Jesus the way that I know I should. Maybe I've been allowing some sin back into my life that I know I shouldn't be letting in, and I need to take care of that. Maybe I've become complacent with being faithful to church and reading the Bible on my own and really paying attention to it and studying it. I haven't really been spending time in prayer. I really haven't been serving the Lord with my life. I let other people serve me, but I don't do much to serve God by serving others. Whatever it might be that God might have put into your heart tonight, would you take some time to respond to that? Whether you want to pray where you are or whether you want to go back and see somebody and let them pray with you and encourage you maybe with some scripture, would you make that kind of a commitment tonight? And finally, if you are here and you need the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. You can be committed to yourself just like Paul had been originally. And you will continue on the wrong direction for eternity. And one day you will die in your sin, and you will stand before God, a holy, righteous God, who will judge you for your sin and will condemn you to a hopeless eternity, separated from Him in a place called the lake of fire. God doesn't want that. God loves you. He's provided a way of deliverance. He cares for you and He offers it to you freely. Tonight, would you turn from your sin? Would you turn from whatever you are holding on to and place your faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? You can go to the back. We will have someone take the Bible, explain the gospel to you, answer questions, and give you the opportunity to place your trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone to be saved. We will not force you. We will not coerce you. We will not put you in a corner. We'll simply give you the opportunity. I implore you. I plead with you. If that is your need, please don't put it off. Take care of that tonight. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for a great week. Thank you for these young people being out. Thank you for all the work that's been invested into this time and for all the sacrifices that have been made to pull this off. And Lord, now we pray that as your word has gone forth, that you would use the conviction of the word and the Holy Spirit to work in people's lives. Father, we want you to be glorified by how we do respond to what we have heard in Jesus' name. Amen.